We begin the current daf and start by Mitzia daf kov test. We begin at the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah regarding the topic, the series of all these Mishnahs of this parak of Hamakabel Sada Mechaver. What's the halacha regarding someone that rents a field from his friend? As this Mishnah talks about Lashonim Mu'atus for a minimum amount of years, which Rashi explains to mean less than 7 years. So if he's renting it for less than 7 years, so La Yizur and the Pishton, so he's not allowed to plant in it flax. The reason for that is because planting flax really weakens the ground very much, and it doesn't come back to its original vigor until after a period of 7 years. Now, as Rashi points out also, as we said, besides the first two Mishnayos of this parak, any halacha in these Mishnayos are exclusively either chachiris or kablonis. Here he explains that this halacha obviously is only talking about a rental, which you pay a certain amount per year, no matter what, to the owner. Because if we're talking about kablonis regarding the sharecropping, that a certain amount of the profits goes to the owner, so then actually the renter would be able to plant whatever he wants to, because even if it would be taxing to the ground, but the owner gets part of that profits, which obviously things that tax the ground fetch a higher price because of the expenses involved, and therefore then he wouldn't object, and you would be allowed to plant flax even if it's for less than 7 years. So we're talking about a rental where he has to pay a certain amount to the owner anyway. So then, if you're renting for less than 7 years, you're not allowed to plant flax. Moreover, ve'inli b'kairi shikma, that is, b'kairi shikma, a sycamore tree, it was a barren tree that doesn't produce fruits. So what they would use such a tree for is that they would cut off the branches to use for beams in building. Now, then the tree would regenerate and grow again. Now, however, for a period of less than 7 years, it doesn't regenerate enough to create beams out of it. So therefore, someone that rented a field for less than 7 years is not allowed to cut down the branches for beams, is because obviously the contract was not with the intention of using it as beams, because since in that amount of years it's not going to go back to as it was, you have to maintain the actual principle of the land as it was, and therefore planting flax or taking the sycamore would actually make it to a situation where when the contract is up, which is less than 7 years, worse than it was when you took it, that's not with the understanding that the renter could do that. However, says the Mishnah, Kibla hamenu l'zayin shanim, if the rental was for a period of at least 7 years, then shanim is showing Yizra in the Pishton, in the first year, since it's for 7 years, first year he could plant it with flax, and v'yeshla b'kari shikma, in the first year, he can go ahead and use the branches of the sycamore for beams, because again, by the time the contract is over, it's going to regenerate the field, and the tree will be as they were when he rented it. Now, regarding this, the first halacha of our Mishnah, regarding when he rented the field for less than 7 years, so we said that he doesn't, ain't libikari shikama, he doesn't have any rights to the branches of the sycamore tree. Now, Amar Abaye, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, bikari shikama in loy. He doesn't have a right to take the branches for beams from the sycamore tree. But b'shvach shikama yesh loy. But if, let's say, during his tenure, when he was renting the field, it made branches and the value of the sycamore tree increased, then they evaluate that profit that the tree increased, and therefore when he leaves, he gets from the benefits, although generally the pay rates of the field is all belongs to the renter, but we said not that it's going to be at the expense of the principal of the land, so he can't take off the branches, but since it increased in value, that value of the branches that increased, that although he can't break it off, but he can definitely get from those profits. Now, Ravam, he disagrees. He says, no, Philip Shvach Shikam Name Ein Loy. No, not only does he not get the actual branch itself, but even the increase in the profit of the value of the new branches, even that he doesn't get, because he doesn't consider that as a pre. Yes, the produce, the principal, he has to keep status quo, but he gets the payers. That's what the renter does with the field. Now, tree is part an extension of something that produces payers, just like the land, and therefore, even though it increased in value, that's not something that he has the rights to. Only if it would go back and regenerate does he have. But if it's not going to, then that's like the land, and he doesn't get that as a pre. It's considered like the land itself, so he doesn't even get the shvach of the shikama. That's the machlekes Abaye and Rava. So now the Gemara asks, Meisav, the Gemara asks on Rava from the following Braisa. And Braisa says, Mekabel Sada Mechaver, if someone rents a field from his friend, and it's time for him to leave the field, the contract is up, so they evaluate for him. So the Gemara says, my love, shamalei b'shvach shikma. What do we evaluate for him? He took whatever he planted. That's what he's here for. So what are we evaluating, which sounds like there's something that he cannot take, but we're going to evaluate what he had increased the benefit and the product. meaning of the land, and that he could take that. What is that talking about? Obviously, the shvach of the shikama, which we don't let him take the actual branch, but the increase in the value he does take, which is not like Rava. So, think about Lain, it was talking about shamal yakav silka. No, we evaluate for him the vegetables and the beets that he planted, which are there, that increase he has rights to. That which he's leaving over there, that we evaluate the shvach and that he takes. So the Gemara says, Yarka v'silka, vegetables and beets, nakar v'nishka. What do you mean? Let him rip it out and take it. All the prayers that he planted during his duration of his rental are his. So why are we leaving it there and evaluating for him? Why didn't he just take it? So the Gemara, but le motu yem d'shuk. It's somewhere where the market day has not yet reached. It's not time to take it out. It would be a loss to take it out. So therefore, he's not going to take it, but we evaluate for him what the benefit was, and then the owner has to compensate him that amount. But it's no proof regarding the shvach of the shikama, because that could be you never take. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring another raya. The Braisa says as follows, Hamakabel sod mechaver, if someone rents a field from his friend, v'higia shviyis, and it reaches the shmita year, so shamalai, so we evaluate for him what was the increase that he had made. Now, although he doesn't get anything now, but we evaluate. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand the Braisa. Shvis mikom mafka ara, what does the Shemitah year remove the rental of the field? How could you read the Braisa? What does it have to do with Shemitah that you start evaluating for him? The guy still holds on to the field for the rental even during the Shemitah year. Elaim, rather say, something like Shemitah, that's what it's a reference to, it's rather hamakabel tzad mechaber, it's someone who rents a field from his friend, v'higi yoivol. Yevil and Shemitah, Yevil is on some level like a Shemitah, where you have to be Misham at the Karka, you can't work the land. Yevil just like Shemitah. So it's something that it reaches Yevil. And then Shamalai, and then you evaluate, because by Yevil, then all fields go back to the rightful owners. So now that's like the end of the contract. So now you go ahead and you evaluate. Now, Sigmund says Vakati, but still it's difficult this price, because Yevil mi mafko kablonis, do you think that Yevil year actually removes and terminates the contract of a rental? But let's misus amrachman. The Torah tells you that this halacha of yevil is only for things that are conclusive, meaning only something that without yevil it would be forever in that other person's domain, which is what a sale is. That's where the pasuk says va'arts loisi machlitz misus, that the land should not be sold forever. But a rental is not forever; it's for whatever amount of years it is, and therefore yevil does not end that contract. So still, how do you read the brisa? Why are we evaluating and say, oh, time's up? Oh, let's evaluate what you got. Why are we evaluating? A rental doesn't end even at Yevil. So Ela Emer rather says the Gemara, finally, what is the understanding of the Braisa? Halakech sod mechaver. Rather, it's referring to if someone purchases a field from his friend and vigi Yevil. So if they meant two things. It's not too much Shemitah, it's about Yevil. More of it's not too much Hamakabal, it's so much someone purchases. So someone purchases a field from his friend and reaches the Yevil year, where there the halacha is, then you got to give back the land to the rightful owner. Then says the Braisa Shamalai. So we evaluate for the consumer what he was mashbiach. Now, that the Gemara says, now, b'chite mahachanamin, if you're going to answer over here, like you did before for Rav in the previous Braisa, the what Shamalai, what are we evaluating for him? Not the Shvach Shikama. It's Biyarka Vasilka, it's regarding the herbs and the beets that he left over there. On that the Gemara asked, but Silka Biyarka Biyevil Hefkeruhu, there's no value over here that he's leaving. Since it's a Yevil year, vegetables in the Shemitah year and the Yevil year are Hefker. Anyone who wants to is allowed to take it. That's part and parcel of the laws of Shemitah and Yevil. So you can't say, with Shamalai what? What value did he leave here for the owner? Nothing. This stuff, everyone is allowed to take it, and the owner doesn't get anything more than anyone else. Elalav shvach shikama. So the Gemara asks, obviously this refutes Rava, because what type of shvach then did he leave here going into the Yale year? Must be a tree, a sycamore tree. People are not allowed to break and ruin the tree. Payers are allowed to eat. But something like a tree, which is the sycamore, which this guy made it better, it's just that his contract has terminated now because it's Yevil. That shvach, we're shamalai and we give it to him. So we see not like Rava, we see like Abaya. So that the Gemara says that actually Tirgama Abaya Lib the Rav Abaya, his disputant, actually interpreted the Braisa that it should be resolved even according to his disputant Rava, and says that no. Shani Hasam, there it's different in halacha of a sale which is being returned to its owner in the Yevil year, where yes, there you'll find that the Shvach of the Shikama, we will be Shamalai, and that Rava would agree over there it's different. And there you're going to give it to the Lekech. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Meyikra, and this is the Pasuk that talks about that the Yatza Memkar Bayis, that the sale of the house will go out, meaning from the one who purchased it, and the city from its inhabitants, by Yevil, and the Yevil year, that meaning that it goes back to the original owner. Says Abaya, what's the pasuk telling you? Memker chayzer. It's only what was actually sold, the actual field, that goes back to the original owner by the Yevliyah. But shvach ain't a chayzer. But what was increased, what was made better, that doesn't go back. Meaning, that's supposed to belong by the Lekech, because Yevil does not remove that. Oh, if it doesn't go back, so then, that belongs to him, and that's why we're shamalais to shvach. But that's only unique halacha to buying a field which is being returned on Yevil. Something you must, but v'nigramenei. But learn out the halacha of rental from the halacha of a sale. Just like by a sale when it goes back. Only the actual principal, but not the shvach, that doesn't go back, meaning that goes to the consumer. So to buy rental, when you give back what was rented, when the contract is up, you give back the actual principal, but not the shvach ha-shikama. That should be like a baya. What? How do we understand Rava that he says that there it's different? So that the Gemara says no, because hasam zvini me'alihu. By the case of this pasuk, which we're saying is an exception, there it's a full-fledged sale. Meaning, as whatever the profit and what's being made better in this land, essentially, really, it's in the domain of the buyer. Because, essentially, it's really his land. Now, the fact that the land goes back in the Yevil year, that the Yevil afka'asa de malkihi, that the Yevil takes it away from the buyer, is because the king, meaning Hashem, went and decided that we're going to remove it from him, and it's like going to be bought back almost, but without money, to the original owner. Now, what the king doesn't remove is not removed. So the pasuk is only saying that the memker of the bias goes back. But the shvach, which the Torah doesn't tell you, the king doesn't tell you has to go back, that doesn't go back. So therefore, the shvach of the shikama is going to go to the lekeach. But regarding the halacha that we're discussing of a kablan, of someone that was mekabla sada, regarding a chachiris that he rented, that has no relevance to the unique halacha of this gzeris hakasev of the afka'as de malka, where they're saying that specifically only what goes back because it was totally owned by the lekeach, which is everything really. But the land, the Torah says, okay, that goes back. But the shvach obviously doesn't. Here we're talking about a different concept. Here it's actually not owned by the renter at all, and therefore we say that the land and the tree, which is made better, is not a pri. He only has the rights to the pri, and therefore Rava says there the shvach of the shikma does not go to the renter. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says that Rapapa kubal aral aspasta. Rapapa, he rented a field to plant aspasta, which is some type of animal type of feed. Now, kadchuba tali. There was a tree that sprouted in the field during the time that he had rented the field. Kiko Mestalik, when he was leaving, when the contract was up, Amalahu, he said to the owners, Havuli shivcha, give me the profit of this tree which grew in the field. So Amalu Rav Shisha Bari David Rapapa, so they said to Rapapa, El Miata, if that's the case, you're saying that the tree that grew while you had been renting the field, did you want to get the profits for that? Then Diklava Alam, then they asked him, let me ask you, if let's say you had rented a field that had a pre-existing tree in the field, and you had accepted, you had rented the field, that you're going to be eating the fruits of that tree, which you're renting that field, for a certain amount of years. Now, during those years, the tree gets thicker. Like, that's what happens to a tree. It gets wider. And the root gets stronger. You're going to tell me that situation, that you would want to have a share of the profits of the fact of that tree, that it got thicker during those years? Now, meaning in the thickness of the tree, because as Taisa says, as Taisa explains, even according to Abaya, who he says you get the shvach shikama, would agree that you wouldn't get that. Because by the shvach of the shikama, which has no fruits, it's a tree that doesn't produce fruits, rather the only shvach in that is the growing of the branches. That's what Abaya says, so that's considered like the pri, and that the renter gets. Because it's with that intention that he's coming down and working the field. But with the intention of the thickening of the tree, that no one goes and rents a field for that. And therefore they were telling him that the same thing's over here. Here the master didn't go down for the intention of this tree that sprouted, because you didn't even know about the tree. You came and you rented the tree, you rented the field to plant aspasta. So what are you saying, that you want to have the shvach of this tree that sprouted? Then you're essentially the same thing as the thickening of a tree, which, because you're not nachas adaita of that, and here also it's not nachas adaita, so why would you think you get this tree? So Amalei, so Rapapa said to him, no, it's not true. Hasam lava daiti d'hacha nachas. There, in the case that you're talking about a tree that's widening, meaning when he rented the field to get the fruits of the tree, the widening of the tree, that wasn't the intention of the person who's renting the field, because rather it was to eat the fruits of that tree. But I know, but me says Rapapa Hacho, in this situation, I came down to work this field with that intention that whatever sprouts in this field, I know I said I'm going to plant as pasta, but whatever's going to sprout, I figured out the pre, and that's what I'm going to take. And on some level here, the actual tree is what sprouted. That's considered something that was a pre, and therefore I deserve to get the shvach of that tree. Now, that they asked him, come on, so who are you saying like? Kabaya. The Amma B'Shvach Shekem Yeshle. So seemingly you're saying like Abaya, who he said that even a tree, the new branches, what's sprouting, is considered a Shvach that belongs to the renter. Seemingly that's what you're saying, the same thing, that you're calling the tree a pre, not like Rava, who said that a tree and its branches are not the pre, it's the fruits that grow on the tree that's the pre. So seemingly it's like Abaya. So as the Gemara, no, Afil Timika Rava, you could even say Rav Papa's claim was like Rava, because Hasam Lesle Pseidim. There in the case that Abai and Rava were discussing, whatever the shikima, whatever the sycamore tree got bigger and stronger and more branches, was not a loss for the renter, because that didn't stop him from plowing and planting what he was going to do in the field anyway. The sycamore tree was always there. Now he knew how much room he has to plant, and therefore the fact that it got more branches doesn't stop him from doing the work he was doing. So that's what Rava says. So that's not a part of the pre of the extra branch is not a pre, and therefore he doesn't get that. But here says Rav Papa, here there's a loss. Here there's a loss because I was planting the whole ground, and then poof, a tree pops up in the middle of the field. Now I can't plant it anymore. So that is a loss. Therefore I should get whatever sprouts, including a tree, even according to Rava. So Amalei said to Rav Papa, wait a second, my pesaditich, what loss have I caused you? Yada das pasta, the room, meaning the actual space where the tree came, where you could have planted your aspasta. Okay, so shakel yada das pasta, but also then take a handful of aspasta and leave. Meaning whatever would have grown in that small area where the trunk of the tree is, that's where you would have planted aspasta. Okay, take that amount of aspasta. What do you want with taking now the whole shvach of this tree that grew over there? So Amalei's Rav Papa said to him, no. I could say, I know Kokama Rishka Rabbi. I would have planted over there this expensive type of saffron, which is very expensive, and maybe I would have planted that, but I couldn't because now the trunk of the tree was there. Don't just give me aspasta. I want you to give me then the quality of something that would have been a very high expensive item that I would have planted in that space. So Amalei, so he responded back to our Papa. He says, wait a second. And the fact that you said that you would have planted this Kurkuma Rishka, this type of saffron, which is something that's actually cut down every single year, and you didn't respond to my complaint, to my retort, that you would have planted the actual palm tree that was what actually sprouted to take the shvach. So therefore he says, Galisa Adaitach. So you have just revealed your intention. A person has to know when they talk, they're revealing their philosophy, that you would not have gone down to this ground with the intention to actually make something that is going to continue in existence, that when you're going to leave, which you cannot take it because it becomes part of the principle, but rather to take the shvach and leave with it. Because from your response, you could see that you wanted to make something that you would have been ripped out, you would have taken along with you when you would leave at the end of your contract. Because de lemishkel v'stiluki avadata, that you did it to that you could take and remove yourself. So therefore, he said, "Shokol kokama rishka bezil." So you know what? Take your type of saffron and leave. In other words, when he was telling him to take your kokama rishka, he meant to say that this little palm tree that sprouted up, you know, rip that out and leave. In other words, when you're going to come to take it, you only have wood, because that's what the tree is at this state, and that's what I'm going to give to you. In other words, all you get is the value of wood. In other words, the tree is more than just the wood itself, more than just the bark. There's the tree, which has a high value because of what it can produce. And that he's telling him, you don't get the shvach of the tree. You weren't intending to plant something that was going to continue in existence, which is the value of a tree. You were going to plant, even when you came with your counterclaim and says, well, wait a second, that's pasta. I would have planted kukamarishka. Kukamarishka is something that you would have taken along with you. You would have ripped it out as you leave, because you reap it every single year. So you know what? Go ahead and make as if you're ripping out the tree in place of the kukamarishka, and you're going with that. But you don't get the full value of the tree, you get the value of what the wood of the tree would be, because you don't get the continued existence of it, because you weren't going to plant something that would have remained forever. Gemara continues with another story that Rav Bibi Bar Abaya Kabal Ara. Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, he rented a piece of land. Vahadrule Mishunisa. Now, around the field, there rose a hard red bedrock type of, like a mountainous type of land in the perimeter of the field. Now, additionally, besides that, now this rocky part came out during his rental period. In that rocky part, it sprouted this tree called Uzradin, which are sorb apples. That's the type of tree that sprouted on that rocky part. Now, Kiko Mestalik, when he was leaving, when he was finished with his rental, Amalahu Havalu Shevchai, he said, give me my benefit, my increase, meaning to say that I'm not taking the actual tree, it's part of the land, but give me that benefit, which is the shvach of that tree that sprouted. It's considered part of the produce, part of the sproutings of the ground. So Amar Rav Papi said to Rabbi Rabbi, it says, Mishum da'asisa mimoloi, because you come from truncated people, meaning the house of Eli, which was a weak family in the sense that they would die at a young age. So Amrita Milam El Yasa, so you say truncated things, in other words, you say things that also are short-lived. Meaning, Afila Rav Papa, even Rav Papa, who we just mentioned before, that wanted the gain, the profit of the tree that sprouted, Loi Amar, he didn't say his claim, El De Islay Pseida, because as we explained before, it's only because of the loss that it sprouted in a place where he could have planted. So although we said that he doesn't get the shvach of the tree, so we said he gets something, which is what he could have planted, which is the Tzakomarishka. So he gets something. But Hacha might say this, but he tells Rav Papa, he says to Rabbi Babai, here, what's the loss to you? Here, in the hard bedrock, you can't plant anything. You wouldn't have planted anyway. The fact that some miracle happened, some sorb apple tree popped up over there, that has nothing to do with you. You don't have the claim that Rav Papa had, which was that, oh, I would have planted something else over there, so give me something. And therefore, you don't get anything. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says that Rav Yosef, Havalei Ahu Shasala. Rav Yosef had a certain individual, Shasala, which is people, that their profession, that they plant vineyards in the land of homeowners. And moreover, then after they plant it, they become like halachically, like a sharecropper for the entire duration of that vineyard, and they take half the profits of the grapes. Now, Shachiv v'shavik chamisha chasen vasa. So he actually passed away, and he left over 5 sons-in-laws. Now, Amar, so Rabbi Yisus said, wait a second. Ar ha'idna, up until now, char hashta chamisha, up until now there was just one person that was taking care of the field as a sharecropper. Now, all the five, there's now this 5 sons-in-laws, they're going to want to, I'm going to have to deal with 5 people now. Moreover, ar ha'idna lehava samcha adadi v'lo mafsidili. Up until now, that you didn't have people relying on another one. Oh, I have another brother-in-law, and it wasn't going to be a loss for me because it was one person. He knew he had to do the job, and there was no way about it. Hashta chamisha samcha dadi maftili. Now, if you 5 son-in-laws are going to take over the job of your father-in-law who passed away, now you're all going to rely on each other, and it's going to cause me a loss. So Amalahu, so he said to them, to the sons-in-law, he said as follows. He says, look, isha klisu shiv chaychu umistali kisizu. If you take the profit that your father-in-law made into the field and you leave, Samutav, that's good. You know what? I'll give you the profit that he did so far, and you guys can leave. V'iloi, but if not, misalikne l'chu b'loi shevcha. I'll actually get rid of you guys without giving you the profit that your father-in-law had done. Because the Amr Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, v'item, and some say it was Rav Huna, v'item, and some say it was Rav Nachman, that ha'isha solid d'shachav, regarding this planter, if he passes away, yershim delay misalikne l'chu b'loi shevcha, you can get rid of his inheritors without even giving them any of the profits. Now the Gemara actually says v'lav milsi. It's actually not precisely the way he said it. It wasn't said in that way that they could totally get rid of them, but it was something related to that type of claim. And if he was trying to say, look guys, take the profit and leave, but I don't want you guys to continue being the sharecroppers because it's not worth it for me. I can't have 5 taking the place of 1. Another incident in these halachas. Husha salad amalhu. There was a certain vineyard planter that said to the owners, he says, look, imaf sadina, I'm very confident about my work. If I cause you a loss, misalkana, I will remove myself from the rights to these produce. So, says the Gemara, afsid. So he actually created a loss. Now, but as Rashi clarifies, in the profit that was already made, then there was a loss. But there was still some profit that was made. It just, the profit that was there, after that, then there was some loss that was incurred in his caretaking of the vineyard. So he created a loss. So he made up he's going to leave. So Amar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, this that he had promised that he's going to leave, Mistalik beloy shivcha. That promise means he's going to leave without taking any of the profits. Even though there was some profit, and he's supposed to get half of it, his guarantee was, he was so confident, he's going to leave without taking any of the profits. Rav Kahana, he says that no. What he was saying was that if I create a loss, mistalik, I'm going to leave, even though I want to stay on, but v'shakal shivcha, but I'm going to take the profits that I made, I'm just not going to continue, I'm going to leave because I'm going to see that my profession is not as good as I said, so I will leave, but he leaves with the profits that he made. Now, says the Gemara, Moedir Rav Kahana agrees, if he clearly, explicitly said that if I create a loss, I'm going to leave without taking any of the profits, then you're right, he leaves even without taking the profits. But even so, in such a case, Rav Amar, he says, no, asmachtehi, making such a promise, yeah, if I make you a loss, I'll leave without taking anything. That's what's called an asmachta, which is that there's a reliance about someone making an exaggerated stipulation. Asmachta lekan in halacha is, says Rava, that there is no halachic acquisition with such an empty promise. And even though he said this, we don't have to remove him without him taking the shvach. That's what Rava says. Ask the Gemara, the Rava, according to Rava, why is this halacha any different than that which you learned earlier in the Mishnah of Kavdal Menal? The Mishnah there is talking about an oris, a sharecropper, who in the contract to the owner, the landowner, he wrote, im oiver v'loy evet, if I leave it fallow and I don't work the land, which is obviously going to be a loss for the landowner too, because he's getting paid with no rent money, just from the profits of the land. So if it's not going to be planted, he's losing. So the sharecropper says, "Mish ashalim b'meitav, I'll pay you what it was fit to have grown during that year for the share that you're supposed to get, even if I don't plant." So you see that when he makes a promise of that, if he creates a loss, the sharecropper, he's going to compensate, that he has to pay. So why is it any different than this halacha where Rav is saying, no, he doesn't have to pay even though he created a loss? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam mai de'afsid mishalam. There in that Mishnah Nuf Kuf Dalad, what he created a loss, which is a real loss. The landowner had a land that could have been planted and would have been planted. So what he didn't plant, the sharecropper, so that he has to compensate. But hacha mai de'afsid. But here, the loss that he did make, in other words, we first assess what would have been the amount that should have been going to the landowner, which was a loss. And that, you're right, says Rava, minakinan le. That we actually do diminish from the portion of the planter, who is a sharecropper, from his share of the profits. But ve'idach, but the rest of that, yavinale. That's what Rava says. We do give that to the shasel, although he promised I'm not going to take anything. That's just called a smachta. That's not a kinyan. That's an empty promise. Doesn't have to follow through on that. But you're right. Of course, we agree to that Mishnah of Kaf Dalet. What was an actual loss for the owner beyond the exaggeration, that of course he has to compensate him, and it's that part of the shvach that the shasel does lose. Now the Gemara continues with another story related to this topic. Runya Shasala de Ravina Hava. Runya was Ravina's vineyard planter. Afsid, he created a loss for him. He planted and that whole vineyard was terrible. So Salke, Ravina got rid of him. He got rid of him from doing that job. So Asli came to Rava. So Runya came in front of Rava to complain. Amalei Chazim Mar my covet. He says, look what Ravina did to me. He fired me from my job. So Amalei, so Rava said to him, Shap Rava, he did very well. Amalei, so he said, but Hola Hisrabi, he didn't warn me, he didn't tell me if I make a loss that he's going to fire me. So Amalei, let's see, he says, it doesn't have to warn you. Why? Says the Gemara, Rava Latame, Rava goes according to his reasoning. Dama Rava said, the following professions, Markrei Dardiki, to school children teachers, Shasala, which was this story, planters, Tavacha, butchers, V'umna, and those who circumcise children, and as we continue in Tamad Beis, the Safar, Masa, and the scribes of the town, Kulon Kimusarin Va'imdindami, they all are considered pre-warned. And that is, that they can be removed from their post if they make a mistake. Now, what's the rule? Klol Demilsa, the general rule is, Kol Psey Dedele Hadar, any loss which cannot be recouped, is Kimusarin Va'imdindami. It's like you're already pre-warned. Now, so therefore, like in one of the cases, so we understand about a butcher, you mess up, it's treif. If you're regarding circumcision, you messed up, you did irreversible damage. So too, as Rashi brings a school child, a teacher, it's also a loss that's irreversible because, as the Gemara says elsewhere, the error, once it enters the child's brain, it enters. It's like wet cement and it's there forever. And therefore, if the teacher messes up, it's... you're already pre-warned, they could be fired, and therefore the shasal here also, you're already considered pre-warned, and that's why he's able to get rid of you. Continuing on this topic of Hahush Asala, there was a certain planter, the Amalhu, that said to the owners, he said, look, Havuli Shevchai, give me my profits that I increased in the land. We were doing a sharecropping, that's what the Shasala is. And give me my profits. To be in the Mesik La'ar Yisrael, I want to make Aliyah, I want to go up to Eretz Yisrael. So Asla Kamidra Papa Bashmo, so he came in front of Papa Bashmo. Amalhu, so he said to the owners, Havuli Shevchai, give him his profits. He's a sharecropper, he gets a certain proportion, a ratio in the field. Now he wants to leave, give it to him. So on that, Amalei Rava, so Rava asked to him, says, Ihu Ashbach, what do you think? Only the sharecropper increased the value of the land? And our loy Ashbach, what the land didn't? In other words, we know that the halach of a sharecropper is he doesn't get all the profits. Why are you saying give him all the profits? The profits, part of it goes to him because he did the work. But the landowner gets part of the profits because it's his land. The land also has something to do with the profits that were create the produce. So Amalei, so Rabbi Bashmul said, what I said, I said, give him, what I was saying was, give him half of the profits, meaning like other planters, which when they don't remove themselves early, when they don't have their contract terminated premature, that they get half the profits as an aris. That's what I'm saying, give him half of the profits. On that, Omalei, so that Rava asked back to him, he says, wait a second, but since this guy is leaving early before the term is up, why does he get to take half the profits? Ado Idna, up until this point, have a shokel balabais palga. If he would have made it to the end of the term, until the end of the contract, the landowner would be taking half the profits. Vishasala palga, and the planter would be taking half the produce. And moreover, he would have been doing all the work like a sharecropper all the way to the end of the season. So therefore, Rava asks him, now Hashta, here in this situation, where this guy is leaving early because he wants to go up to move to Eretz Yisrael, you tell me that he's going to take the whole entire half and leave? So what that means to say is you're going to now leave the landowner with certain work that still has to be done in the vineyard. And then he's going to have to give part of his share to a sharecropper. Now, as the Gemara will shortly clarify, a sharecropper, when he comes into even a pre-planted vineyard, he takes a third of the peiros. So it comes out that the landowner is going to be losing a third from his half every single year that the sharecropper is going to continue doing the job, which the shasal is supposed to continue working the vineyard until the end of the life expectancy of the vineyard. So how can you say he takes half the profit when that's creating a loss for the landowner? So Amalei, so Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, no, riva d'shivcha kamina. And I said that he takes the profits. I wasn't saying half. I was actually saying half. I was saying a quarter, that is half of his half. That, as the Gemara will explain, what Riva means, he says, I was saying he should take a quarter of the Shvach. Now, says the Gemara, Savi Ravashi Lemein, Ravashi thought to say that, regarding this incident, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said that this Shasala that's leaving early, that he gets a quarter of the profit, that, what does that mean? It's Riva means a quarter of the two-thirds of the profit that remains by the landowner, because he has to use one third of it to pay the sharecropper who's going to have to take over the job of the shasala who's leaving early to go to Eretz Yisrael, the hudantka, which essentially that's really a sixth of the entire shvach of the vineyard. In other words, for example, let's say if the profit that was made by the vineyard are 60 nar. Now, first, a third of it has to be used to pay the artist. The sharecropper who's coming over to take over this job, he takes a third of the produce. So now, then there's remaining 4 dinarim. So there, the shasal takes a dinar, which is a quarter of what is remaining to the landowner after there's a sharecropper, which that's a danka of the entire shvach. I mean, that's a sixth of the entire shvach. So when he said a quarter, it didn't mean a quarter of the entire shvach, Rav Ashi explained. He thought to say that it means to say actually a quarter of what remains after the sharecropper who has to be paid now as an additional expense, which is a sixth of the total shvach. As the Gemara explains, why? Why did Rav Ashi think to say this? Because the Amar Rav Min Yomi B'Reid Rav Nechumi, he said that Ba'asra D'Shokol Shasola Palka, like we're talking up until now. And the place where the custom is that the planter takes half of the produce, but he does the work on the vineyard forever, for the whole entire expectancy of that vineyard. Now, Varisa, moreover, the custom in that place is that a sharecropper who enters into a pre-existing, a full-fledged vineyard, and he has to do the work, that he takes tilsa, he takes a third of the payers. So therefore he said, the boilis taluke, that he wanted to leave early, so then we evaluate it, and yavinale, that we give to the shasala, Shivcha the prophet, umisalkinle, and we send them away. But however, in a way, ki heichad lelim taya hefsel balabais, that it shouldn't create a loss for the landowner. In other words, so we evaluate and we look and we assess the land in a way that's not going to be a loss to the landowner when we're removing him. So how does that turn out? So this is Rav Ashi's logic. So Rav Ashi was entertaining as follows. If you say that when Rav Papa Bar Shmuel was saying that he gets a quarter, it's a quarter of what's left, which is really a sixth of the entire profit, that's what the Shasala takes. So then Shabbat, but then we could understand very well this halacha or Rav Menyumi, Bereder of Nechumi, that when then afterwards the Arisa, the Shirkrabba, takes a third, what you have remaining are three dinarim that's left between the two of them. Because you have now the landowner taking his half as he would have always taken before, and there was a profit of six. Originally it was supposed to be the Shasala takes three and the landowner takes three. But now things are changing because the Shasala is leaving early and now the Shirkrabba has to take a third. So if you say that the Shasala takes a sixth of the profit, and now then there's five, six left, if you give a third of that to the Aris, what will be left, you're going to be left with three, because you're going to take two off and you're going to give it to the Aris, you're going to be left with three for the landowner. So that makes a lot of sense. You're doing it in a way that's not going to create a loss to the landowner. But Eli Amrit Riva Mamish, but if you say that what Rav Papa Bar Shmuel meant when he said that the shasal gets a quarter, it means a quarter of the entire profit, meaning out of the six, which means to say that he's getting a dinar and a half, and then the aris takes a third, which are two dinar, a third out of six is two. Then kamati le pseid la balabayis pal gedanka. Then that's going to create a loss of a half a danka, meaning 1/12 of a loss is going to be for the landowner, because he's going to be losing a half a dinar from his half, because he's supposed to get three. It's supposed to be three for the shasala and three for the landowner. But now in this situation, since the profit is six, if we're taking off two, which are the third that go to the aris, and we're giving 1.5 to the shasal, because that's what a quarter of the entire profit is, 1.5, then that remains for the landowner 2.5. And he's going to be losing that half a dinner from what his profit is supposed to be. And Rabbi Yumi said that he's not supposed to lose anything. So obviously, he says, Rav Ashi must be that the river that he said was a river what remains after the Aris, but not of the total profit. On that, asks the Gemara, Omli Rav Acha Berid Rav Yisrael Rav Ashi. He says, wait a second. V'lei malei, but let the shasala, let the planter, tell to the owner, to the landowner, as follows. Ant, Manasa di loch havle larisa. Let's figure it out like this. It says, you take your portion and you give it to a sharecropper. You're a landowner, you're not working. That's why you hired me in the first place, to be the shasala. So you hire a sharecropper to work on your half, which originally was incumbent upon me to do the work, and then you would have eaten the produce. Now that I'm leaving early, I'm going to up Teretz Yisrael. You go and give that over to a sharecropper. Now I'm going to have to deduct from my portion how much would have been coming to you that now you're going to have to pay for the sharecropper instead of me doing the work. Now, on that says Rav Acha Berid Rav Yosef, that actually you can interpret not like the way you're saying that it's only a quarter of the after the sharecropper takes off his third. It could actually be a quarter of the entire shvach, which is a quarter of six, is 1.5 dinar. How so? So he's saying as follows. You take 3/4 of the vineyard for your portion, which that's going to be 4.5. Now, from that 4.5, you give a third to the aris. What's a third of 4.5? Because the aris always takes a third in what he's working on. That's going to be 1.5. Comes out that you're going to be eating the entire year half of the fruits of the vineyard, which is 3, without any expenses. Vano and me, mansa dili. Now, I'll take my portion, which is a quarter of the sum total. What I want to do with my portion, I'll do with it. In other words, what he's telling him is, you know, don't be worried about my part. I'm not going to be able to maintain it because I'm going to up Teretz Yisrael. I'll sell it to other people for the quarter of the entire value. Now, by me, it doesn't pertain that I'm going to have to give my portion to a sharecropper, because I'll just sell it to someone else and I'll move and I'll go up Teretz Yisrael. Now, the one who buys it, he'll have to figure out what to do with it. Either he'll go ahead and work it himself, or he'll have to hire a sharecropper himself. But essentially what he's telling the landowner is, but if you want to buy my portion, now, that's not my responsibility to work for you, that you should eat the produce without having investing any more money. Rather, you on your own prerogative are going to have to give it to a sharecropper and to take from the profits itself, from that part of, that's my portion that I'm going to, quote, be selling you for a value of a half a dinner. Now, then for my one and a half, you'll be left with one dinner, which that is 2/3 of my portion. Because right now, essentially, you're like buying it from me. But therefore, what he's asking him is essentially we could say there are papa saying that he gets a full quarter of the total, not at the end of the result. In other words, what he's asking is that you could end up with Rav Nachumi's halacha of having no loss for the homeowner. He's going to be walking away with three as he always walks away from three. But instead of the shasala getting one, he'll get one and a half. How is he going to get one and a half? The way he's going to get one and a half is because he's telling him that my quarter, that is mine. And therefore the sharecropper is not working on that. He's going to work on only your part. And from your part, he'll take off a third, which will leave you with three, and you'll get the three you're anyways going to get. My part, if you're going to want to take that part, let's say because I'm leaving, I'm like selling it to you. Now the fact that you're going to have to invest a third of that to go ahead and pay for sharecropping with that, that's your responsibility as a consumer. So you're going to have to pay a half a dinner because that's a third of the one and a half dinner that's mine. But essentially, the Shas HaSol is saying I should get one and a half the way Rav Achmer Rav Yossi is giving the interpretation, and not like the way Rav Ashi is saying that he's only going to get one dinner, which is going to be a quarter of what remains after the Aris is paid. So therefore, not necessarily do you have to interpret Rav Papa's Bar Shmuel's Halacha as a quarter which is left, which is only a sixth of the total, it could even be a quarter of the total. Now, Omar, so Rav Ashi responded to me, says, I recognize that you're very sharp and you're able to go the depth into the sugya and to ask penetrating questions. Kimatzis l'shchitis kachim, when you come to Masechta Zvachim, which is very deep, Tov actually come and ask me and then I'm going to have the frame of mind to answer your question, which is really a very good and deep question. Because Rashi says, although there are those who want to say that he was just rejecting him and saying, you know, when you get there, then ask me, because he really didn't hold this question was a good question. Rashi says you can't say that because obviously he did accept it as a valid question. Because first of all, Rashi says it is a good question. And moreover, from the fact that the Gemara, when it phrases Rav Ashi's original teretz, it says, Kesav Rav Ashi Lemein, Rav Ashi thought to say that a quarter, which is really a sixth, which is a quarter after the Aris first takes off his third, is obviously that because the conclusion of the Gemara was not like that, but rather the way Rav Acha was asking him, Rav Acha ben Rav Yosef, which is that it could even be a quarter of the sum total and still hold on to him. And Yumi's Halacha, which is that there's not going to be a loss for the landowner, he's still going to get his half, which is three dinarim, that he was always going to get. So the Gemara goes back now, which we quoted Gufa, Amr Rav Yumi B'Reidim Nechumi, that he said, Ba'aster the Shokel, we had quoted his halacha in the way of interpreting Rav Papa Bar Shmuel's halacha. So the Gemara is introducing that, which then takes us to another one of his halachas. Ba'aster the Shokel, Shasola Palka, in the place where the planter of the vineyard, he takes half of the profits, and Varisa Tilsa, and the sharecropper, when he comes into a pre-existing vineyard, he takes a third of the profits to work the field. So, Hai Shasola, the Boyistaluke, so this planter who wants to leave early, I mean when the vineyard is still around and go up to Eretz Yisrael, Yavinyan Le Shavchim Esakin Le, so we give him his part of the profits and we let him go. But Kihecha Delay Livsis Balabais, but in a way that's not going to cause a loss to the landowner, which again, there were these two different interpretations in the case that they were talking about, what would that require for him to get a quarter of the sum total or only a quarter of what's remaining after the Aris takes his portion. Now, continuing on this topic, again from Amr Rav Yumi B'Reidam Nechumi, he says that Koifas Sava, a grapevine which became old in the vineyard, which essentially is like any other branches which are split between the landowner and the sharecropper. So in that, the planter takes palga, takes half of that vine as in other payers, which he takes, the produce he takes half. Because since it's normal for that, what happens is that when the vine gets too old, it stops producing, and then they just go ahead and use it for the vine itself. So it was with that intention that he went to work the field, that he's going to take half of the pears, which includes half of the old vines. Now, however, but if Shatva Nara, Let's say it's not because it got old, which that's normal and that's the expectation what the Shasol is going for. But rather, a river came and just flooded the vineyard, and now it ruined the vineyard, where now they're coming to split the wood of the vine, which that's the pre. Now, but that would be like a shasala of the previous Gemara, which he's mistalik b'lei zimne. He's leaving not in its appropriate time, and he's leaving early, because, and the reason why that's considered over here, because it's not expected. It's not something that you had gone to get an old vine. You know it's going to age, and you're going to share the profits. That the field's going to get flooded is an unexpected thing. It's premature, like a guy, like a shasala who's leaving early, and therefore in such a case, he actually takes only river. He takes a quarter. Now, the case of Shatvanara is, as Rashi explains, because sometimes it either totally rips up the vines, or sometimes it just floods the ground and weakens it to such a point that it's not going to be able to sprout forth any more fruits for a long time, so they just go ahead and they split the vines. So, and that says, Rabbi Yumi, it depends. If it aged, then he's going to take half, versus if it just flooded, which then that's like the previous Gemara where he only gets a quarter. Now, similarly, the Gemara brings out, Hu Gavra, the Mashkin Pardisa Lechabi, there was a certain person that gave his orchard, his vineyard, as a mashkin, as security, as collateral to his friend who lent him money, which Rashi says either it's tumah mashkanta de suro or what's called nachyasa, which is that the lender actually continuously eats from that land which he has as collateral, which keeps on diminishing the debt that's owed to him. But the idea of this mashkanta is that he eats from the produce. And he had made this as a collateral esther shnin for 10 years. Now, but bekash l'chomish nin. But 5 years into that 10 years, the vine got old, and as Rashi points out, but in its appropriate time, meaning you could tell that this vine was only going to last another 5 years, and therefore it wasn't fit for peiros anymore. So Abaye Amar Peirahavas. Abaye says that the wood of the vine is considered produce, and therefore the lender could take it because the lender in this mashkin he takes all the peiros. This vine that expired is considered a peiri. Rava Makarnahab. Rava says, no, the vine is considered the principal. It's like the land itself. It's what produces peiros. And therefore, now that it can't produce peiros anymore, what you do is you sell it and you purchase land with it because it's the principal, which should not be touched. Now, from that land, which was bought with the old wood of the vine, now the lender could go ahead and eat the peiros of that land. Now, Mesa, the Gemara asks on Abaye's interpretation from the following brisa, which is talking about this category of mashkanta, where the lender has a vineyard of security. So the brisa says, "Yavesh ilan oy niktzatz." If the tree dried up or got chopped down, so shnei masurim by, so both the lender and the borrower are forbidden to utilize that tree. So ketzah yasa says the brisa, what should they do? Yimachu le'etzim, you sell the wood. The yilokach ben karka, and then you purchase with that value, with that money, land. V'oichel peiros. So the principal remains with the borrower who owns it, and the lender eats the peiros. So says the Gemara, my love, yavesh to midiniktas. Doesn't there seem to be a parallel between those two cases, which is talks about when the tree dried up or when it got chopped down? So says the Gemara, man niktas bismani, just like a tree when it's chopped down is only in its time, meaning a person doesn't chop down a tree that's still producing peiros. Obviously, it's only when it already maxed out, it's not making peiros anymore. When the time has come, then they chop it down. So af yavesh bismani, so it must be the case of drying up, must be also that it expired. The Kitanian, what is the price to tell us? Yilokach ben karka vo'eichel peiros. So what do you do with it? You buy land with it, and you eat the produce of that land. So Amakarnahava says, obviously like Rav and Nalik Abaye, you see that's considered the principle. And Nalik Abaye said that you could just, the lender takes the branches and takes the wood and use it because it's peiri. Obviously that's not, that it's karen. Another thing Gemara says, no, actually the comparison is the other way around. Niktzatz duma d'yavish. You should compare the case of being chopped down to the case of when it dries up. Which ma'yavish b'leiz manoi, just like when it dries up. Not in its time. Unexpected, early expiration, where Abaye agrees that if it went and stopped making peiros before its expected time, since that's not expected, so we don't consider that as a pre, because that wasn't his intention, like we said with the case of Shatva Nahar. So then that's where the halach is going to be, that yeah, then it's Karen, it's not considered a pre, and now that it did expire, since it wasn't expected, it's not a pre, you have to sell it, and then on that land, he could eat the peiros. So afniktzatz b'leiz manis, so too the other case of being chopped down is also talking that it was chopped down not in its time, even though it's still producing peiros. And that's why it's going to be considered as the principle. But the truth is, if it was bizmanoi, then actually it would not be considered as the principle. It would be considered as pre like a bayah holds. So the man says, Toshma, come and let's try to bring a different raya, not like a bayah, from a Mishnah Masechet Ksubos. The Mishnah says, Naflula. If it falls to a woman an inheritance from when she already got married, meaning during her marriage her father died and now she inherited from her father, kefanim v'seisim zekanim, old grapevines and olive trees. So says the Mishnah, it's a continuing type of kofiyotim and olive. So yimachu le'etzim, so she sells the trees as wood, because she doesn't maintain it, but rather she sells it, v'ilokim in karka, and then she buys land with it, and v'hu eichel peiros. And then the husband eats the produce. So obviously you see that these old trees are considered as principal. Because if you consider like a bayah that it's pre, because it's already old, it's not producing anymore, then the rabbanan, there's a takana rabbanan that the husband eats the peiros of the wife's nechasim, of the nechsi meluk, which she inherited from her father. So if you hold like a bayah that is considered the pre, then why do you have to sell it and then buy land and then the husband can eat the peiros of the land? Let the husband just take those old vines because that's considered pre because it doesn't produce anymore. So the Gemara is not difficult on a bayah. Eimer, rather say, v'hiskinu. Say, and then they aged. In other words, that they became old before their expected time. So then we said that a bayah would agree in that case, since it was not expected, it's not considered pre, it's still considered the keren, the principle. Or if you want, you could say that lav mi ukum nilahi, didn't we explain this Mishnah Masechet Ksubos on the Vayin Tesem Beis, that halacha, that Mishnah was talking about, that these trees that she inherited from her father, these old trees, were kugun shenafla besada acheres. Where actually she inherited them on land that didn't belong to her. Rather, these trees were in other people's fields. That she inherited those trees to kokalya karna. That then, if the husband would go ahead and consume the trees, that would totally consume the principle. She would left me nothing. If it's talking about that she has land with trees on it, then you're right. Then Abai would agree, which is his halacha, that the trees are considered the pre, because they're something that come out of the ground. The ground is the principle, and the tree, yes, usually the pre is the fruit is the pre, is the outgrowth of the tree. But now that the tree stops producing, then the tree itself is the pre from the ground. But here it's talking about where the tree is not even in her land. If the husband would take and eat up the tree, would use it and use it as firewood, she'd be left with nothing. That we don't do. We don't consume the principle. She has to be left with principle, and then the husband gets the pre of that. So therefore, in this situation, Abai would agree that since that it would totally consume the principle, that's why you have to sell it, and with that money, buy land so that she remains with the principle of what she inherited, and then the husband can eat the peiros of that. But again, in the general situation where the land is that person's, then the tree is actually considered the pre, and therefore then the person who's holding on to that, the mashkin would be, the lender would be able to consume the tree itself because it's considered a pre.